just want to tell you a quick story. You see, Jesus was walking down the road one day and with his disciples, and he passed by a man that was blind. And I kind of imagine them walking down the road, and there's this man sitting on the side of the road, and the disciples see him, and they kind of just basically ignore him as if he's not even there. And they ask Jesus, they're like, "Hey, why is this man blind? Is it something that he did? Is it something that his parents did?" And so as they're walking down the road, Jesus basically says to his disciples about this blind man that he had been blind from birth so that the works of God might be brought to light in him. And then I think we all know the rest of the story. Jesus bent down, spat on the ground, formed mud, rubbed it on the blind man's eyes, and then he told the blind man to go to the pool of Siloam, and then when he washed, he received his sight. And so when the religious leaders found out about it, they asked the man what happened, and Jesus said, and the man said of Jesus in this, in John 9:25, he said, "One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." You see, right before the mud and right before the washing and right before receiving his sight, Jesus tells his disciples that night is coming when no one can work. And then he says this, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And so what Jesus said still holds true. Night is coming, but Jesus is the light of the world, and he has a work for each and every single one of us to do. Basically, he has a plan for every single one of you in this room today, a plan to be a part of the work of his kingdom. How do I know that? Well, that's a good question. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But John 1:1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word." So in the beginning, when God created everything, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Genesis 1:2 says, "Now the earth was chaos and waste, and darkness was on the surface of the deep. And the Holy Spirit was hovering above the surface of the water. And then God said..." And from God's word, from what he spoke, came forth all of creation, the heavens and the earth. In John 1:3-5, it says this, "All things were made through him, and apart from him, nothing was made that has come into being. In him," or in Christ, "was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered it." From the very foundations of the world, from even before the beginning of creation, God had a plan in place for each and every single one of us to be in relationship with him. And part of that plan is the fact that you are here today in this service, in this very building. You see, you may not have been blind, but you may have been addicted. You may have something that you're struggling with. You may be depressed. You may be downcast. You may feel as if you are alone. You may feel forgotten, or you may even feel broken. You could have been barren. You might be sick. You might be bound. You might be shackled by sin and the weight of this world. But the reality is, at one point, we were all lost. And some of you might still be. But God spoke, and the person of Jesus was revealed. And he has been displayed throughout all of Scripture. I know that you hear us say this all the time, that even from before the foundations of the world, God had a plan for us, and that Jesus was that plan. But even though we say that, the Bible tells us that and shows us that it's true. Throughout all of creation, Jesus is detailed in the pages of Scripture. And I promise you that whatever you need him to be in your life, he is. Whatever it is that you need, he can be that thing, because he is faithful. And it is only according to his word and to himself that he holds his faithfulness. In Genesis, it says that he is the creator and the promised redeemer. You see, Adam met him in the garden. Abraham and Isaac met him on the mountaintop where he provided a sacrifice for himself. Jacob wrestled with him in the desert. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb, and he says that I am that I am. Whatever you need Jesus to be in your life, he is that thing. Moses met him there at the burning bush. And in Leviticus, it tells us that he's our high priest. In Numbers, he is a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Every single person in the congregation of Israel met him in awe and wonder each and every single day. In the book of Deuteronomy, he is a prophet like Moses, and he takes our curse upon himself. And you see, in Joshua, he became the commander of the Lord's army. In Judges, it tells us that he is our deliverer. And Gideon sees him face to face, and God says to him, do not fear. In Judges, he is our deliverer. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. He is our priest and king. And God calls to Samuel in the middle of the night, and David meets him in the field. So no matter where you are, no matter how dark it seems, God can still speak into your life, because David was forgotten, Samuel was asleep. In 1 Kings and in Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In Ezra and Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of the broken. How many things in our lives have been broken, and yet God has rebuilt them? He is the restorer of the things from the past. In Esther, he is the protector of his people. In Job, he is our mediator. In Psalms, he is our great shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom, and the Bible tells for you to seek him with everything that you have. If you need him, seek him. But the Bible also promises that when you do that, you will find him. In Songs of Solomon, he is our ever-loving bridegroom. The Bible tells us that we need to be looking for him. Amen. In Isaiah, he is our suffering servant. We meet him as wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. In Jeremiah, he is the righteous branch that we are graciously grafted into. In Lamentations, he is our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the Son of Man who is also seated in splendor and glory. Go read it for yourself. In Daniel, he is the fourth man in the fiery furnace. Even when things seem like death is closing in all around us, he is there with us to bring us through these situations. In Hosea, he's our faithful husband. In Joel, he's the baptizer with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. Obadiah, he's mighty to save. Jonah, he is the great missionary. Micah, he casts our sins into the sea as far as the east is from the west, forgiving our sins and pardoning our transgressions. From the very beginning pages in Scripture, God has laid out a plan that brings us to where we are today. In Nahum, he is our strength and shield. Habakkuk, he's God's everlasting evangelist, crying, revive the works in the midst of the years. In Zephaniah, he's our Savior. In Haggai, he's our restorer of the lost. In Zechariah, he's the Messiah that is pierced for us. In Malachi, he is the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. I once was lost, but I have seen Jesus be all of these things in my life, because now I am found. In Matthew, it says that the people meet him as the long-awaited king and the king of the Jews and the fulfillment of prophecy. In Mark, the people meet him as the powerful servant, as a wonder worker who spends time serving the marginalized of society. In Luke, he is the compassionate Son of Man who seeks to save the lost. In John, my favorite book in the Bible, we see him as the Son of God, the Word made flesh. He offers us living water and eternal life. In Acts, he is the risen Savior, ascended Lord. And not only that, but he sends us his Spirit so that we can do the things that he has called us to do. And God meets this man named Saul on the road to Damascus, and his life is so changed that he can never be called Saul again, but he is forever now called Paul. I was blind and now I see is the testimony that Paul leaves us. In Romans, the Bible tells us that he is our righteousness. 1 Corinthians, he is our rock and our foundation. 2 Corinthians, he is the triumphant one, giving victory to those that follow him. And Galatians, he is our liberty, and he has set each and every single one of us free that believe in him. In Ephesians, he is the head of the church. Philippians, he is our joy. Can anybody use joy today? Well, he is joy. Colossians, he is the pre-existent creator, which means he was there even before the foundation of time, and he is the fullness of God. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is our hope. 1 Timothy, he is our faith and our stability. In Titus, the Bible says that he is truth. Philemon, he is our mediator. Hebrews, he is our high priest. James, he is the power behind your faith. If you don't think your faith is enough, guess what? That's okay, because Jesus is right there to increase and to be your faith for you. In 1 Peter, amen, he is our example. In 2 Peter, he is our purity. 1 John, it says that he is life. 2 John says that he is your pattern. You don't know how to live. You don't know what to do in this life. Look to Jesus. 3 John says that he is your motivation. When you can't seem to take one more step each and every single day, remember that Jesus is there walking alongside you through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jude, he is the foundation of your faith. We don't build our life on sand. We build it on the rock, which is the Word of God. And in Revelation, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible tells us that he is still our coming King. I once was alone and lost in chaos, but now I rest in the peace of the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible, the Word of God, tells us that. You can open up the Bible to any chapter, any book in the Bible, and you can see the promises of God that hold true. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the sustainer of creation and the creator of all things. The Bible says that he always was, he always is, and promises that he always will be. He is unmoved, he is unchanged, he is undefeated, and he is never undone. There is nothing that can surprise him. There is nothing that can overtake him. His stripes brought us healing. His blood brought us redemption. He was dead. Bible says that now he is alive, and he comes when he comes with healing in his wings. He reigns and he brings peace. The world hates him, but there is no army that can defeat him. No matter how many books you read, they cannot explain him. The world leaders, no matter how much they want to, cannot ignore him. Way back in the day, Herod could not kill him. The Pharisees could not trap him in all of their questions. No matter how hard he tried, the Emperor Nero could not destroy the record of him. No matter how hard he tried, Hitler could not silence his people. Muhammad cannot copy him. Buddha and karma cannot match him. The Brahma and the Hindu faith did not cause him to come into being. Judaism cannot deny him. The New Age cannot replace him, and science cannot explain him away. One more thing, I didn't forget about it. No matter how you vote, no matter what political party you belong to, political leaders cannot save like him. The Bible tells us that he is the Word made flesh. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. The Bible says that he is the Lord who will provide. He is the Lord who heals. He is the Lord my banner. He is my victory. The Bible also says that he is peace. He is our shepherd. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the captain of the Lord's armies. Most importantly, he is the Lord my God. In him, we find goodness. Apart from him, we can never have kindness. Without him, we can never find gentleness in our lives. He is holy. He is righteous. He is mighty. He is powerful. Whatever you need him to be in your life, I'm not telling you that's what he is. The Bible claims, states, and backs it up to be true, is that is who He is. His ways are right and His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and the Bible promises us that His eye is on each and every single one of us. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He's my guide. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my comfort. He is my Lord and Savior. What is He to you today? If you don't know, if you don't identify with any of these things, then you can, because all the people that are about to get baptized here today are testifying. Everyone that you saw step out front here today are testifying to who Christ is in their life. In each and every single one of their lives, He moved in a different and significant but powerful and life-changing way. If He did it for them, the Bible tells us that He can do it for you, because the Bible says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so they're testifying to who Christ is in their life, and they're testifying to the fact that the Bible tells us that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Because we have all fallen short of the glory of God, that means that we all have sinned. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the Bible also tells us that God demonstrated His love for us in that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins while we were still sinners. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, if you ask someone what their favorite verse is, it's a real easy one to go to, John 3:16, because God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him, because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But the Bible also tells us that that eternal life, that everlasting life, is God's gift to us in Christ. So I guess the question that we're really here to answer today is this: do you need Him today? Do you need Him to move in your life? Do you need Him to do something special and specific in your life? Are you lost and need to be found? Are you bound and need to be set free? Are you blind to the truth and need to see who He truly is? Back to the original story. The blind man's sight cost him something. Jesus didn't just bend down and spit in the mud and rub it on his eyes and miraculously he received sight. Jesus told him to get up, to go and wash in the pool, and then he received his sight. He had to make a choice to get up, to go wash in the pool. He had to make a decision on what he really wanted in that moment. And the reality is that we all have to make a choice as well. So if you want to be completely secure in your eternal salvation, if you want to be completely secure in who you are in Christ without a doubt, then let me tell you that I believe that you are in the right place today. Because the Word of God also tells us, and when it tells us, it promises us, this, if that we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. The Bible also tells us that every single person, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And not only that, but it says, since we have been justified through faith in Christ Jesus, we have peace with God. All the sin, all the wrong that we've done has been forgiven. It has been cast into the sea as far as the east is from the west. And the Bible also promises us that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. No matter what the enemy tries to tell you, no matter what the world says about you and all of the things that you have done in the past, the Bible, the Word of God, Jesus tells us that there is no condemnation for those that are in Him. Not only that, but the Bible tells us that neither life, I need you guys, hear the words that I'm saying to you right now, that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor demon, neither the present nor the future, any powers, neither height nor depth, not anything else at all in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe, Pastor Mark, Pastor Jan, my wife Morgan, the staff, we all firmly believe that God created you on purpose, for a purpose, to impact this world for God's kingdom. You do not have to remain in whatever it is that you came in here with today. You can be free. If you need spiritual sight, God can give it to you. If you need to be redeemed, restored, God can bring those things to you. If you need to be set free, if you need salvation, Jesus is here for all of those things. You don't have to remain in the same state that you walked in here today. We all have a testimony in Christ, just like each and every single one of the people that we saw lined up here today, just like everyone that's about to be baptized. We all have a testimony, and our testimony is still being written, and we can still make a choice to do the things that God has called us to do. If you will, please stand with me. I'm going to ask anyone that is being baptized, if you will, please step out at this time. Go ahead and make preparations in order to be baptized. The testimony of Christ is on display for every person in Christ. Everyone that believes in Him has a story, has a testimony, has a purpose. So I want to ask you today, what does your story say? Do you believe in Christ? Have you called out to Him from wherever you are? Do you need to be restored? Do you need to be set free? Do you need to build the rest of your life upon the foundation of the Word of Jesus Christ? Just like the blind man had to step out and go to the pool, he had to make a choice of whether he wanted to receive his sight or not. You have a choice to make today. Some of you have come in here and may not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Some of you may have come in today and know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you still have some things that you're struggling with. No matter how you came in today, you don't have to leave the same. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head and close their eyes. If you would like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, if you want your testimony to be like some of the things that you saw today, here's what I want you to do. With everyone's head bowed, everyone's eyes closed, I simply just want you to raise your hand. Say, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want my eternal salvation to be secured today. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I just want everyone to just repeat after me out loud. God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I believe that He lived a perfect life. I believe He died on the cross for my sins. I believe that He arose on the third day and is now at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The prayer is just an expression of the faith that you have professed in your heart. The Bible says simply that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. It's that simple. The rest of your life is forever changed when you believe that. The rest of your eternity is secure in Christ. But I know that that's not the only thing that we struggle with and deal with. So I'm going to ask the prayer team if they would please step forward. They're going to lead us in worship, and I would like to ask if there is anything at all that we can pray with you or for you about. While the rest of the people are getting ready to be baptized, we have a few minutes. Let's just take some time to pray together today. The altars are open.